Welcome to Bhagavad Gita.
Hari.
Okay, and there's Bhagavad Gita's right there, folks. Your own. Your very own copy. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Please turn to page 33, the last page of the introduction, and we're going to sing one of my favorite Gita Mahatmyas. Jai. Small is beautiful. Jai. You see the Sanskrit prayer that's above. Sarva Upanishado Gavo. You got it? Prabhu, are you on page 33? 33. No, in the introduction. Okay. You got it? You see where it says Sarva Upanishado? You see? Okay. Again, from the top. Sarva Upanishado Gavo. Dugdha Gopala Nandanaha Partho Vatsak Sudhir Bhukta. Yes, all electronic devices and seat backs in the upright position, tray tables against the seats. Hang out of your japa bigs. We're going back to Godhead. Dugdhaṃ gītaṃ ritaṃ mahat. One more time. Sarva Upanishado Gavo. Dugdha Gopala Nandanaha. Partho Vatsat Sudhir Bhukta. Dugdhaṃ gītaṃ ritaṃ mahat. We'll say the English together. Here we go. This Gita Upanishad, Bhagavad Gita, the essence of all the Upanishads, is just like a cow. And Lord Krishna, who was famous as a cowherd boy, is milking this cow. Arjuna is just like a calf, and learned scholars and pure devotees are to drink the nectarian milk of Bhagavad Gita, the sixth Mahatmya. So Bhaktamarg Prabhu tells me that we're up to chapter 10, the opulence of the absolute. Text 30, so turn to 10:30 in your edition. These chapters were named by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. In Sanskrit, it's called Vibhuti Yoga. You'll recall in text 17, Arjuna said, "Please tell me of your opulences. I want to know how, tell me about your, in detail, how great you are." So Krishna says, "Yeah, I'll tell you. I'll tell you a few things, but it's limitless, really. So I'll give you a sample." So basically we have 20 verses from roughly 20 to 40, 20 to 39. A sample of how we can see Krishna, be reminded of Krishna in his energies. This is very important. Otherwise, if we don't see Krishna in his energies, we'll simply see prey, P-R-E-Y, objects for our sense gratification. Prey is what a predator preys on. Not P-R-A-Y, P-R-E-Y in English. So let's go to text 30, and we're being reminded of Krishna in all these categories of vibhutis. And vibhuti is an interesting word. It means opulence, and it's a kind of incarnation.
Yes.
Okay, we'll talk about vibhuti a little later. So text 30, everybody got it? We'll do a line for line. Prahladaschasmidaityanam Kala kalayatamaham Mṛganāṁ ca mṛgendrohaṁ Vayanateyas ca pakṣinaṁ. We have limited time, so anybody want to try to chant? Prahladas ca smidaityānaṁ Kala kalayatamaham Mṛganāṁ ca mṛgendrohaṁ Vayanateyas ca pakṣinaṁ. Prahladas ca smidaityānaṁ Kala kalayatamaham Mṛganāṁ ca mṛgendrohaṁ Vayanateyas ca pakṣinaṁ. Word for word. Prahladaha. Prahlad. Cha. Also. Asmi. I am. Daityanam. Of the demons. Kalaha. Time. Kalayatam, of subduers. Aham, I am. Mṛganāṁ, of animals. Cha, and. Mṛga Indraha, the lion. Aham, I am. Vainateyaha, Garuda. Cha, also. Pakshinam, of birds. Translation: among the daitya demons, I am the devoted, Prahlad. Among subduers, I am time. Among beasts, I am the lion. And among birds, I am Garuda. Please repeat: among the daitya demons, I am the devoted, Prahlad. Among subduers, I am time. Among beasts, I am the lion. And among birds, I am Garuda. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Diti and Aditi are two sisters. The sons of Aditi are called Adityas. And the sons of Diti are called Daityas. All the Adityas are devotees of the Lord. And all the Daityas are atheistic. Although Prahlad was born in the family of the Daityas, he was a great devotee from his childhood. Because of his devotional service and godly nature, he is considered to be a representative of Krishna. There are many subduing principles, but time wears down all things in the material universe and so represents Krishna. Of the many animals, the lion is the most powerful and ferocious. And of the million varieties of birds, Garuda, the bearer of Lord Vishnu, is the greatest. Om Agyana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkest ignorance, and my spiritual master is kindly opening my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. So the opulence of the Absolute, Vibhuti Yoga, at the end of the chapter, we'll hear Krishna say, Yad yad vibhuti mat sattvam srimarojitam nevava tattadeva vagachatvam mamate jongsa sambhavam. But what need is there, Arjuna? And that's the next one. Know that all beautiful, glorious, and mighty creations spring from but a spark of my splendor. Know, again, know that all beautiful, glorious, and mighty creations, all these vibhutis, spring from but a spark of my splendor. So that's the whole point behind the chapter. We had a little mini vibhuti yoga in the seventh chapter where Krishna, beginning with Rasoham Apsukonteya up to 7:11, Balang Balavatam Shaham, gave us a little peek there at teaching us how to meditate on him in his energies. Taste of water, light of the sun and the moon, syllable om, heat and fire, etc., etc. And now we have a whole chapter to devoted to that, specifically the the last half, 20 through 40. And it's very interesting how Krishna chooses these opulences. The first one, among the daitya demons, I am the devoted Prahlad. So this is extraordinary, that of all those in that family line who were forgetting God and were competing with God, ignoring God, ignorance, Prabhupada says, emerged the devotee out of that. The ashes, you know, arose the phoenix of Prahlad Maharaj. So, especially in the first generation of ISKCON devotees, we really identified, I don't know if you folks do, but in the 60s and 70s, when we joined the Hare Krishna movement, you know, it was like, first we dropped out to become counterculture warriors, and then we dropped out of the counterculture to become devotees, right? So we were dropping out and dropping out. We were turning on, tuning in, and dropping out and dropping out. So practically nobody, you know, would have anything to do with us because we were like the outcasts. Actually, we were the luckiest. But a favorite image was, you know, Lord Nrisingadev ripping apart the body of Hiranyakashipu, because very often, you know, our fathers, our superiors, all the people that, you know, had high hopes for us in the material world, we just turned our backs on, you know, big time. And there was no communicating with them. They didn't understand, you know. So we had to be kind of like little mini Prahlads in our own, you know, funny way, just to assert our long lost identity as devotees. It was quite a break, quite a unique break. But it was Krishna's arrangement, because we had no shelter. We had no other shelter but Prabhupada's movement. You know, we had already dropped out, and then we got disappointed with that because it's material. Simply to negate the mundane. That's what we were doing. We're just negating passion and embracing ignorance, basically, with some tinges of, you know, goodness seeking. So, of all those people who forgot in that line, Prahlad emerged as a Mahajan. Svayambho Nararakshambho. Is it? Kumara Kapilo Manu Prahlado Janako Bhishmo Balir Vayasikir Vayam. This is Yamaraj. He's explaining to his Yamadutas. As they're completely confused and baffled of why these angelic Vishnu Dutas stole a Jamil from their clutches. We had a right to claim this guy. He was a sinful guy. And here are these Vishnu Dutas. Who are these people, Yamaraj? Are they more powerful? I thought you were the most powerful. Anyway, that's a whole pastime. So in the course of preaching to his henchmen, his assistants, Yamaraj lists the Mahajans, the great devotees. Svayambhur is Lord Brahma, begotten directly of the Father, as our Christian friends tell us. Svayambhu, Svayam, self-born. Svayambhur Narada, Narada Muni, Shambhu, Lord Shiva, Kumara, the four Kumaras, Kapilo, Lord Kapila, Manu, Svayambhuva Manu, Prahlado, Prahlad Maharaj, Janako, Janaka Maharaj, Bhishmo, Grandfather Bhishma, Balir, Bali Maharaj, Vyasikir, Shukadev, Vayam, we, Yamaraj. So Prahlad, he's born in a demonic family, but he emerges as one of the 12 all-time great super authorities on devotional service in the whole universe. This is extraordinary. So it doesn't matter where we're born, Belgium, America, India, you know, if we just agree, because just like Prahlad, he became enlightened in the womb. Can you imagine waking up and hearing Narada Muni preach to you? We pointed out in the Founder Acharya seminar, you know what George Harrison woke up to in the womb? I didn't know this until I read Ranchur Prabhu's book. Have you read When the Sun Shines? Oh, it's amazing. You've got to read this book. Anyway, Ron Chur did tons of interviews, including George Harrison's mother, Louise, and his sister, who has the same name, Louise. So the only thing, one of the only things that would calm Louise during her pregnancy with George in 1943, during the war, during the Blitz, you know, during the blackout, and, you know, as the Germans were bombing England. Somebody gave Louise a 78 long playing vinyl album record of Indian ragas. Isn't that far out? Louise was listening to Indian ragas while George was in the womb. So that's what George woke up to hearing, Indian ragas. So talk about picking up from a previous life. And then, you know, 23 years later, he meets Ravi Shankar and starts with the sitar again. Okay, so it doesn't matter our birth. We just have to agree to be twice born. And then Prabhupada spends the whole first paragraph talking about Prahlad's ancestry and how he appeared in the demoniac side, but he was the devotee. He was the jewel amidst the mud. And then Prabhupada focuses on the second line, which is I want to focus on more. Okay. Yes. You can't hear me. Yeah, and I talk too fast. Plus, I use a lot of American slang.
Well, he's just all right. Yeah.
okay. Kala, kaliyatamaham. This, for me, is the most telling, as we say, the significant line. Krishna says, among subduers, I am time. Aha. And Prabhupada has written, there are many subduing principles, but time wears down all things in the material universe, and so represents Krishna. What do the scientists talk about? They have a name, they put a label on everything. So what do the scientists label the principle? You know the label? For things, over time, they go from a state of wholeness, integrity, to dispersion. What do they call that? Do you know? In English? Yes. Disintegration is a general, but more scientific jargon. Entropy. Entropy. And in the Gita, Prabhupada refers to this as an inferior natural sequence. There's time in the spiritual world, too. There's sequence. You know, Krishna does things and things happen. But there's no loss. There's no wearing down of time. The superior sequence is that everything increases in eternity, bliss, and knowledge. And here, as soon as we're born, we start dying. We start to discern. I mean, there's an ascendance. You know, birth, growth, maturation, byproducts, dwindling, and death. It's like, whoop. It's like Hiranyakashipu. You know, when Hiranyakashipu was fighting Lord Nisringadev, at first, just to have some fun with Hiranyakashipu, Lord Nisringadev let him slip out of his hands, right? And so Hiranyakashipu got really fired up, like, all right, you know. So that's us. You know, every time we come into this place to try to control and enjoy separate from Krishna, we say in English, feeling our oats, you know, we start growing and then we peak, you know, at about 25 or whatever it is. And then it's all, whoop. So there's a message there, you know, time. Father, we say in English, Father Time. You say that in your, yeah. Yeah. So time is trying to teach us something. You know, you're not the supreme. You're not the center. This, give up your God project. You know, get with the program. This is a correctional institution. Reform your consciousness. So there's a big verse. Who knows the big time verse in the Gita? Big time. That's no pun intended. There's a big verse about time. Yes, yeah. And do you know this verse was quoted? Yes. by Mr. Oppenheimer when he saw the first atomic bomb. He quoted two verses, actually. No, actually, he quoted, you know what verse he quoted? This is the verse he thought of two. He said this later. In 45, it went on, the test was, you know, before they tested it on the Japanese. In 45, there was the test. In 65, they asked Oppenheimer about, you know, just his reflections on that test. And then he reminded the press that he quoted a certain verse. And the verse was, Divisur, he didn't say the Sanskrit, but here's how Krishna says it, or Arjuna. Divisurya sahasrasya bhaved yukabaduttita yadibaksad rishi sasyad bhashastasya mahatmanaha. If hundreds and thousands of suns rose up at once into the sky, they might resemble the effulgence of that supreme person in his universal form. He quoted that. But he was also thinking of kalosmi lokakshaya krit pravidho. Time I am, destroyer of the worlds. Time I am, destroyer of the worlds, and I have come to engage all people. But for you, the Pandavas, all the soldiers here on both sides will be slain. So Oppenheimer, he saw the flash of the atomic flash, and he thought of that Gita verse. But then he thought of the other one too, because he knew that this this was, you know, a real bad omen. This is the beginning of the end, as Prabhupada says in 16th chapter 8-9 purport. You know, when Krista says that the demons invent horrible works meant to destroy the world, Ugra Karma, that Prabhupada says this presages, this foreshadows the coming of the atomic, you know, nuclear weapons. So let's take a look at that. 11:32, that's an echo. See, the Gita is a song, and like all good songs, there's echoes, and there's refrains, and there's, you know, poetic points and counterpoints. And so 32 is kind of an expansion of this line, Kala Kaliyatamaham. So, the Supreme Personality of Godhead said, time I am, the great destroyer of the worlds, and I have come here to destroy all people. With the exception of you, the Pandavas, all the soldiers here on both sides will be slain. So, let's see. Okay, although Arjuna knew that Krishna was his friend and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he was puzzled by the various forms exhibited by Krishna. Therefore, he asked further about the actual mission of this devastating force. It is written in the Vedas that the Supreme Truth destroys everything, even the Brahmins, as stated in the Katha Upanishad, Sanskrit, and then Prabhupada writes, eventually all the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, and everyone else are devoured like a meal by the Supreme. Isn't it? I mean, you read this, I talk about hellfire and brimstone, or why do bad things happen to good people? This, you ain't seen nothing yet till you look at the tongue of Vishnu, you know, swallowing all the soldiers on the battlefield. Except for a few Pandavas, everyone who was present on that battlefield would be devoured by him. Arjuna was not in favor of the fight, and he thought it was better not to fight. Then there would be no frustration. In reply, the Lord is saying that even if he did not fight, every one of them would be destroyed. For that was his plan. If Arjuna stopped fighting, they would die in another way. Death could not be checked, even if he did not fight. In fact, they were already dead. Time is destruction, and all manifestations are to be vanquished by the desire of the Supreme Lord. That is the law of nature. Is that a sadistic God? No, that's called tough love. That's a tough teacher. Try as we might to be the supreme enjoyers, again and again, we are reminded, you're not the supreme. Now start doing good time in this prison and learn your lessons. So that's called an inferior natural sequence. The superior natural sequence is that Krishna, he does things in his lila, and they just increase in the pleasure that he derives from them, and that we derive from them when we participate. For example, here, You know, we kind of, in a sense, disappoint our parents by growing up and not being cute little people anymore. And then, you know, we become rebellious adolescents. The American writer Mark Twain said, when I was 14, I couldn't stand my old man. He just embarrassed the hell out of me. And then when I got to be 19, I was amazed at how much he learned. Didn't get it, okay. Between 14 and 19, you know, he learned that actually his father knew something. When he was 14, he thought the old man was just a dunce, you know, just a dolt. And then by the time he got to be 19, Mark Twain realized, actually, he knows a lot. So even if we don't accept any authority, I don't believe in God, we all have to bow down to death. Everybody bows down. And people think, what are you doing bowing down? Guess what? We're practicing. This is the ultimate asana, right? Bowing down. Bow down, mister. What was that haiku I wrote when I first saw Prabhupada? Golden swan gliding, almighty humility. Bow, wow, bow down now. That's what we all did, because you didn't see in one person humility and power. That's what you saw in our founder Acharya. Absolute power and absolute humility. You don't see that in the material world. If somebody's powerful, they're not humble. And if somebody's humble, they're not powerful. It's a dual world. But in Prabhupada, in the pure devotee, you saw somebody who was absolutely surrendered, humbly surrendered. Therefore, Krishna, the all-powerful, was pleased to invest all of his shakti into Prabhupada so we could start fulfilling the prediction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Okay, so that's an inferior natural sequence when we disappoint our parents by growing up and not being cute anymore and being rebellious and, of course, doing what we want to do and not fulfilling their plans. At least that's how we do it in the West. Maybe it's different in India, I don't know, but that's what we do. But in Golok, Krishna never disappoints Mother Yashoda. You know, you can have Krishna eternally as your baby, or as, you know, and simultaneously have Krishna as, you know, whatever you want in Paugunda. You know, we can't conceive of this. How Krishna can be everything all at once. It just, the mind can't compute it. But that's Krishna. Goloka eva devasatya kilatma bhuto. Brahma Sanghita, Lord Brahma says, Krishna, you're in Golok, and you're also in my heart, and you're also in here, and there, and everywhere, and every atom. This is inconceivable. Okay. So, let's look at the last. Yeah. Of the many animals, the lion is the most powerful and ferocious. Yes, the lion is a certain majesty. There's a certain royalty about the lion. Once Srila Prabhupada was on a morning walk with the devotees. They're walking by a zoo. I forget where it was. I think, I'm not sure if it was in America or where, or Europe or India. But when they walked by the lion, a devotee started taunting the lion. And Prabhupada stopped him. He said, "Do not do that. After all, he's lion. He's lion. You know, don't tease the poor captive king. You know, he's the king of the jungle. So you have to respect him." So Prabhupada was seeing him not just as an animal in the zoo, you know, to be gawked at like a tourist, but he was respecting. Here's a vibhuti of Krishna. Here's a little hint, a spark, as Krishna says later, yad vibhuti mat sattvam, a spark of Krishna's royal splendor. And that's what we are looking at. We're looking at Krishna through his energies, just reminding us, just, you know, a little bit, little hints, you know. And it's supposed to inspire us that if we think this is amazing, well, what about the person who created it all? You know, Krishna is everything. Anybody want to make a comment or have a question before we go on to the next verse? And among birds, I am Garuda. Okay. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. I don't know. I'm really weak on, you know, deities and worship and what's proper. I don't know that stuff at all. I should take the deity worship course in Mayapur, you know, to learn to grow up, you know, and get past 1971. but I do know one thing. That when you have, I mean, that's really, it's kind of small, and it is kind of, it's like a decoration. No, it's not, like you say, we don't do puja. So the deity worship minister, the Sringa Kavacha, Prabhu from Australia, has he been here? He would like to. Okay. Yeah, he's an Aussie, you know, Australian devotee, and he's a deity worship minister. So I asked him a question. I said, Nishrinka Kavacha Prabhu, some Indians in Hawaii donated a big statue to the Hawaii Honolulu Temple of Ganesh. Somehow they had it, and they didn't, you know, have any more use for it, or they weren't able to properly respect, you know, Ganapati, Ganesh. So they just gave it to the temple. And so it's just standing outside, you know, kind of under some Hawaiian palm fronds, a little bit protected, not really. And it looks nice, you know, it looks nice, but it's not being worshipped. So Nisinga Kavacha Prabhu didn't kind of like that, because it's a really prominent murti, and it's just there, and it's kind of at the mercy of the weather. And he made a comment. He said, deities are not garden gnomes. They're not, you know, just decorations in a garden. If you're going to have a form of a worshipable deva or Krishna, there should be at least some shelter and some kind of regular respect offered. Beyond that, I can't say. What do you say, Prabhu? Maybe you know more. You look like you're... Yeah, right. Oh, and here's an interesting remark, since you said that, deity should be worshipped. Our god sister Vishakha Mataji, who is the wife of Yadavar Prabhu, the mother of our Hari Priya, who was here not long ago, right? Yeah. She told me, she once asked Srila Prabhupada, when is a deity? Yeah, that's formally. But Prabhupada gave a more informal answer. He said, whenever the worship is regular. And that made sense, because in the Gita, Krishna says, yayatam ang prapadyante, as you surrender unto me, I reward you accordingly. So once we start treating Krishna as our Lord and Master, then he starts revealing himself in so many ways. So similarly with a murti, once there's regular worship, then Krishna is pleased to manifest himself, you know, through that form. Okay, so there's in a couple of minutes they're going to come in here and start doing bhajans, yeah? All right, so I guess we shouldn't start another verse. But tune in tomorrow for text 31, when we'll be looking at Krishna as the wind, as the wielder of weapons, of the shark, like Jaws, you know. People go see Jaws and they want to be scared or amazed. Well, that's actually a hint of Krishna's opulence. And the Ganga. We can talk about the glories of the Ganga, even though it's only a two-line purport. There's a lot in there, actually. Okay, that's our Gita soundbite for the evening. Sweet Govinda dreams, Gopal dreams. Prabhu, you have a question? No? Okay. Jai, all glories to the cowherd boy, Sri Krishna. Hare Krishna. Gaura Bhaktivinoda ki jai.